You're listening to Tech with Heart, empowering business success in a digital era. Sponsored by Revelio, innovative software solutions that make your business come alive. Here is your host, international best-selling author, speaker, female tech founder, and innovative expert, Michelle Calloway.
Hello and welcome to the Tech with Heart show. I am your host, Michelle Calloway. Tech with Heart's about enlightening and empowering small business owners to be able to embrace technologies and systems and strategies that are going to help them stay competitive and relevant and rapidly grow their business in an online digital world, like we live in today. And so today's topic is around avoiding bank fraud of and what you can do with cybersecurity to help protect yourself from any kind of scams. We're going to bring in a special guest. He's an expert in this field. His name is Dick Gray. He's a 55-year veteran, a certified document consultant, and a certified data processor, and a certified software engineer. He is the only one from the printing industry who is also a graduate of the FBI's Academy of Anti-Counterfeiting and Anti-Forging of Documents. So help me welcome to the Tech with Heart stage, Dick Gray.
Hello, how are you today?
Oh, thank you. We're good. I'm good. I'm really excited about what you're going to share. It's not something that everybody has the knowledge in order to bring to our small business audience. So Dick, let's start with this idea of checks when it comes to banking fraud and checks. Right. What can you speak to us about? What do small business owners need to know regarding that?
Okay, first off, we're going to start with checks. There's 176 million paper checks go through the Federal Reserve System every day. About 6 million of them are personal checks. That leaves the other 170 million for business checks, rebate checks, postal money orders, Western Union money orders that can be altered. And unfortunately, alterations of checks or copying of checks has resulted in about a $12 billion a year industry for the bad people. And small businesses, when they do get hit, unfortunately, their average loss is $40,000. So okay. A lot That's of small businesses don't have a lot of $40,000 set asides sitting around for the other people to take them from them. And when we're dealing with checks, it's both a pre-processing and a post-processing situation that you need to be aware of. On pre-processing, you need to lock up your checks that you haven't printed yet. I deal with small businesses that I see them, they've got checks laying around on the desk or on a file cabinet. Employees, you want them to be honest, but if they have a need and opportunity, they can take a check or they can copy a check. And you don't want those things to happen. So you want to lock up your checks. That's very important. Once you've printed out your checks and you're going to send them out in the mail, a lot of small businesses, to help cut costs, they will use a number 10 window envelope. Most common business envelope in the world is a number 10 envelope. That envelope is 9 1/8 inches wide, but the paper check that goes in it is only 8 1/2. So it can slide back and forth, and bad people that have intercepted mail, all they've got to do is hit one edge of it and the check will slide down and they can confirm that it is a check. So you want to get a number 9 envelope. It's only 8 5/8 inches wide. Very, very common thing that you can pick up at most office supply stores or with your check provider. They've got checks. The other thing that you want to do is most checks are going to be moisture sealed on the back flap. You kind of lick it or use a sponge or something to wet it, and you close the flap and it seals. The bad people have figured out that you can take intercepted mail, throw it in the freezer, and that is remoistable glue on the back. So the dryness of the freezer will dry out the moisture. The bad people can lift up the flap, take the check out. They can either alter it or copy it. And if they want to be nice to people, they'll lick it again themselves and close the flap and put it in the mail for you. So you want to either put down a piece of scotch tape and press it multiple times into it, because scotch tape is a contact adhesive. It'll stick to what it's supposed to, like a postage stamp is contact adhesive. But when you press it down into the flap area, it penetrates the paper fiber, and they throw it in the freezer. They can't lift it up. So you want to do that. Also, you can get self-sealing envelopes, either have latex on them that you press the flap down and it automatically sticks, or it's got a strip on the back of the flap that you pull the strip off, press it down again. It's a contact adhesive. Press that down as many times as you can, and also still put a piece of scotch tape on the flap, rub it in. That gives you some protection. The other thing
So,
is,
I'm
yes.
sorry, Dick. I'm just going to ask a question here that maybe somebody else that's listening to you is asking. So how are the bad guys, the interceptors, the ones that are finding the checks and intercepting them, and how are they cashing them if it's made out to another name that's not them?
Well, good question. How do they cash them? They can alter the check using various erasure methods to strip out the name and or the address. Put in the name and address that they want, and they can cash them. That's problem number one. There's software programs that you can buy at office supply stores that have templates in them that can work with Google Docs or Microsoft Word, that they can print out new checks that don't look anything like the check that you sent out, but they're very cashable at a bank. So that's something that is out there.
Thank you for answering. Okay, you were
And
saying, so I
yeah,
didn't mean to interrupt, but what were you
yes.
going into when I asked that question?
That's another thing. One of the largest areas of bank fraud that is happening now is with people that get unsolicited mail from banks all across the country wanting you to sign up for a new credit card. And people look at it, they throw it in the trash. The bad people go out and collect trash. And when they've got a bank application, all they do is they will change off the address and what have you, sign it. Even at the point that they can copy your signature. If they've got any kind of documents where they've picked up trash that you've signed something and thrown it away for whatever reason because you didn't need it anymore, they can turn around and find a table with a glass top on it, set the document with your signature on it. They will set a powerful flashlight on the floor. It'll shine up, it'll illuminate your signature, put a blank piece of paper on it, copy your signature. So if they sign up for the credit card and start making all these charges, and then you get called or notified by a bank that, hey, you've got all of these charges and you're not paying for them, and you say, I never did it. And they said, well, we have your signature on the document. Yes, you did do it. And you have to prove then that you didn't do it. Very difficult to do. So when you get the unsolicited credit card request, whatever, shred them. I think the least expensive shredder that I have seen at an office supply store was $19.95.
100%. Shred, shred, shred. Everybody that's listening right now, even just the envelope that may or may not have your address on it, just shred everything. You do not want your address out there, even with this Amazon era in which everybody's getting packages delivered to your house. Also, black those out before you throw those boxes away or peel
Oh,
all the
yes.
stickers off. Just do your very best to keep yourself secure, because as we've seen in this world of Web 2 with an HTML-based internet that we are all trying, so we're trying very hard to be able to do transactions, digital transactions, et cetera. It is very hackable, as we've seen so many different highly sophisticated entities getting hacked. Your data has been leaked, it's on the dark web. Please, just be wary. If something feels off, it likely is. Just be safe. And of course, we're talking here about physical things. physical packages, physical envelopes, checks, physical checks. But and, you know, this is something that we really need to hear about. So thank you, Dick. Is there anything else regarding checks that you would like to share with us?
I think that would be some basics to deal with right now. And again, I come from the school of since there are so many places that are making everything convenient, you can do stuff online and what have you, that does put you in jeopardy, both for physical documents as well as digital activities. So I come from the school, I'd rather be inconvenienced and take the time to do things manually before I send them off, then have convenience and get put out of business.
Being able to do business online is crucial for survival, especially during times of social distancing. So how do you survive and thrive in the sea of digital noise? It's a lot like fishing. You need to know who your perfect customer is so that you can use the right kind of lure to attract them. We help you catch your perfect customer and retain them for future sales through highly converting websites, influencer mobile apps, getting you featured in the news and on TV. Hi, my name is Jerry Bowden, U.S. Army veteran and president of Revelio Software Solutions. Our goal is to help you rise above the competition, be seen as an expert authority in your industry, and embrace technology to stay competitive for long-term success. It's more affordable than you may think. So reach out to us at Revelio.com, and together we will make your business come alive.
Thank you for that. Okay, so those of you tuning in right now, that was a lot, but those are very great tips when it comes to making sure that you're keeping your business safe and yourself safe. Now let's talk about cybersecurity a little bit. Go ahead,
Okay.
Dick. What would you like to share about cybersecurity in regards to what small business owners need to do in this space? Because it's very overwhelming, especially if you're not very tech savvy.
Right. Most people have one of these. Cell phone, smartphone, flip phones even. I've talked once before about this, that you can go to your cell phone carrier and you'll talk to customer service first. All you have to do is tell them, I think I've been exposed to identity theft. I want to talk to the fraud department. They'll transfer you to the fraud department. Tell them, I think I have been exposed to identity theft. Hopefully you haven't been, but if you tell them that, tell them you want to lock down your SIM, S-I-M-M. Every cell phone, every tablet has got a SIM in it. You want to lock those down because the bad people, if they hack, say, your emails or they're hacking your phone or what have you, they're not going to hit you immediately. They're going to watch what you're doing for a couple months, monitoring where you're paying bills, who you're calling, what activities you're involved with. And they're going to go out and get a burner phone and they'll call up your cell phone carrier. They want to talk to customer service. They don't want to talk to the fraud department. Say, I think I've been exposed to identity theft. I've got another phone that I want you to transfer my two-step authentication to that new telephone number for the next 90 days. So when you log on using your tablet or your smartphone and you log on to your bank, they'll send you a two-step authentication code or numbers. And the bad people are monitoring you. As soon as they send it, they've got those numbers. They'll respond back before you do. And immediately they've got access then into your bank account, personal information, and they can do so much damage to you that it is beyond belief. My next door neighbors had identity theft on a credit card application type of thing. 7 years later, they're still dealing with it. So by all means, lock down your SIMs. Second thing you want to do, most people, if they work either at home or in an office, being a small company or what have you, they have antivirus software and everything on their computers. They don't think about putting it on their cell phones. Many companies that have antivirus software for computers also have it for cell phones. Mine, I pay $11.95 a year. Nothing earth-shaking in that area, but I am covering myself not only for antivirus, I'm malware, identity theft, everything else. It takes some time to set it up and give them all of the information on it, what have you. But they're monitoring my cell phone just like they would my computer to help protect me.
Those are great points, especially, if you're a small business owner, we are definitely doing a lot more business on our phones. And to just have peace of mind, it is a very good idea to go ahead and find a company that will give your computer the support it needs to protect it, but also all your electronic devices, even your printers. Your printers, if you have one, some people don't have printers anymore, but if you have a printer, it has an IP address. And so, therefore, it's connected to your network and it can also be used to hack into your
Right.
network. So, it's good to have an entity that does help you protect all of those devices. And there are a lot of choices out there. And like you said, it doesn't have to break the bank. $11, $12 a year, that's not much for the protection that you need. So thank you for those tips. When it comes to the SIM, SIMM, you're saying that we can like go and call our carrier. Do you have to go into a location personally and get them to take care of it?
No, question is again, do you have to go into a physical location? At AT&T, a T-Mobile, a Verizon store, whatever your carrier is. No, you don't. You could do this over the telephone with it because the fraud departments are going to be able to look up things about you that they can ask you about yourself to confirm that it's you.
Okay, thanks, Dick. So what about like any kind of other means of protecting your business regarding cybersecurity? So we've already talked about going in, hiring a company or doing, the software that can get put on all your devices to protect it, like firewalls, malware, etc. What about any kind of insurance protections when it comes to cybersecurity attacks or anything like that?
You can talk with your casualty insurance carrier and find out if they have small business cybersecurity insurance and have that added as a rider to your regular insurance policy.
And what would that protect? Can you give us a for instance? Have you known anybody to use such a type of insurance?
I've got more than 1,000 that I can tell you from my suggestions have told me that they went and got it and they found out it was a lot more reasonable than they would have thought to do it. Plus, by having that cybersecurity software protection with their regular casualty, they got a small reduction on their casualty insurance coverage because then an insurance company is not paying out a claim for damages against you. So when you're talking with the insurance carrier, whoever is representing them, talk about the insurance carrier and find out also if they can give you a small reduction in your casualty insurance.
So, what kind of instances would a cybersecurity insurance cover? Can you just help paint some pictures for those that are tuning in right now?
Somebody has gone in and hacked your network and installed malware. They've locked down your system completely. You have a cost involved. Costs can vary. I know one that their total cost for an outside IT person to come in and unlock the damage that was done and clean everything up was $826. Again, it caused a lot of inconvenience, but $826 was worth it to get back to doing business. The largest was for a mid-size company. It was $653,587.
For the mid-sized company to get their systems back online after they've been hacked, is that what you're saying?
Yes. That's a chunk.
So the cybersecurity insurance covers those types of costs. What about
Oh,
losses?
yes. It covered them for downtime. It covered them for cleaning up all of the items that they had to do, credit monitoring, everything else that was going to be impacting them for a couple of years. So $826 wasn't bad. 653,000 plus, that's gigantic.
Yeah,
And
definitely isn't something that you go out and start a business, with the hopes of having to spend that kind of money just to get back what you already built because you got hacked. This is not fun stuff that we're talking about here, but it's good to know that those types of insurance exist. So,
the
is
other
there
thing
anything more?
is on it for those who have been hacked and shut down, 55% of SMB, small medium businesses, pay the ransom.
So let's talk about that ransom for just a quick second here. A lot of times hackers hack so that they can hold your data ransom.
Right.
Does this insurance, this cybersecurity insurance you're referring to, does it cover ransoms?
Yes. Yes. That would probably be number one on the list.
So this sounds awful. Like, what if, and I mean, obviously, it's an extortion. The bad guys are extorting you by
Yes.
holding your business ransom. You're saying the cyber insurance covers the ransom, but what if the guy doesn't, or whoever, I'm saying guy, but it could be any, but the
Right.
person that is holding the data ransom, what if they don't release it?
Okay, that is always a situation that it's quote unquote it's a crapshoot. Usually, if it's a larger amount, not only local police, but you could have the situation where the FBI gets involved in it. But the other thing on it is if you're hit with malware, if you're hit with ransomware on computer systems, call United States Postal Service. Postal inspectors can go across all jurisdictions. They have an 800 telephone number. You will actually get a live human being that will take down all of the information about your attack. And postal inspectors have a gigantic amount of IT people involved in mail and wire fraud that can step in.
That's interesting. Would never have thought about them. That's very
Yes.
interesting. Any
Yeah.
other quick tips before we can wrap this up, Dick?
That really would be it. Again, I hate to see people getting hit. I deal with it. Nothing surprises me. But again, it's kind of a parting thing I want to reinforce. I would rather be inconvenienced and safe than have conveniences and get put out of business.
All right. Well, you heard it from the horse's mouth here. Dick is an expert. He's been dealing with this for a very long time. He's seen us go from an analog world into a digital world, and there are risks. But we don't want you to listen to this episode and go, I'm never going to do anything online ever again. It's just really good to have somebody like Dick in your corner. He loves working with disadvantaged veteran-owned businesses. But if you are a small business owner and you would like to reach out to him, Dick, how can they reach out to you?
The easiest way, number one, is my email address. And in the subject matter, put fraud attack or fraud help, something like that. So, in case it does go to quote unquote my spam filter, I monitor that multiple times a day. I can still get it and get back to you. But my email address is dick.gray at D as in David, V as in Victor, E as in Edward, globalmarketing.com. My office telephone number is 949-587-0416.
Thank you for that. And are you on LinkedIn? Can they find you, Dick Gray?
I just went back on LinkedIn. I was off by choice for a number of years because I was doing some other stuff for the government, and I kept getting bad people trying to get a hold of me.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so yeah, he gave you his email phone number. I really recommend you reach out to him if you have concerns and you want somebody like him on your side to make sure you've done your checklist properly. And also, he just has a great heart for small business owners and entrepreneurs in general. So, what is a thought or phrase, Dick, that you want to leave impressed upon those that are tuning in right now?
Okay, don't be a target. Real simple.
Okay, so he gave you ways to not be a target. I hope you guys do take heed and do the things. And I want to thank you so much, Dick, for being here. And if you are a small business owner and you want to just be around heart-centered but yet innovative, tech-savvy entrepreneurs, we welcome you. We invite you to come check out the Tech with Heart Network. We are a community and we provide valuable insights from experts like Dick around topics that you may not know enough about on your own. So we take the guesswork out of doing your own research and we provide experts that bring different tips to the table to help you as a business owner. But we also have the ability to help you implement certain automated technology systems in your business. So we enlighten you first and then we empower you to move forward so that you're able to free up your time by doing get rid of the mundane tasks and let automation take over on that area so that you can focus on the real quality human to human connections. So if you're interested, again, go to techwithheartnetwork.com. We'd love to have you join us. We'd love to help you with your small business. Just reach out to us there. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, we're always looking for valuable experts like Dick was here for the cybersecurity and this fraud department. I don't have the ability to talk to you guys about that. So thank you so much for being here, Dick. Again, please reach out to
Thank
us, techwithheartnetwork.com. Here's to your success.
Your story needs to be seen and heard, and your brand needs to be revealed. Revealio elevates purpose-driven businesses into the spotlight through video storytelling, augmented reality video marketing, and professional website design. Get discovered online or in the news. Be featured in national magazines or host your own TV, podcast, or live radio show. Together, we make your brand come alive. All it takes is Revealio. Visit Revealio.com to get started today. Minority and service-disabled veteran-owned.